Welcome back to Power of Attorney Radio. I'm Wayne Zell, and the show is sponsored by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. And by the way, if you'd like to know more about Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to view my blog and subscribe to my blog at www.blueprintforwealth.org, where there's all kinds of educational content, audio, video, articles on estate planning, tax planning, and business planning topics of interest. So visit blueprintforwealth.org. Make sure you put the three W's in front so you get to the right site. So anyway, we were talking about the recent Supreme Court case where the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the Section 3 of DOMA, the Marriage Act, Defense of Marriage Act, that was enacted in 1996 under President Clinton's administration, that ruled that marriage, as defined under federal law, is a union of a man and a woman. And of course, the district court, the Southern District of New York, threw out the section saying that it was unconstitutional. And the Second Circuit, I was about ready to say, was getting ready to hear oral arguments on that case. And on September 27th, Chief Judge of the Second Circuit, Dennis Jacobs, and Judges Chester Straub and Christopher Droney heard arguments in the case. Not even 3 weeks later, the Second Circuit upheld the lower court's ruling that Section 3 of DOMA was unconstitutional. In the opinion, it was stated that it's easy to conclude that homosexuals have suffered a history of discrimination. Thus, homosexuals were deemed part of a quasi-suspect class that deserves any law that restricts its rights to be subject to what we call intermediate scrutiny. Because DOMA could not pass the test, Judge Jacobs wrote, "It's unconstitutional under the equal protection guarantees of the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution." It was the first federal court of appeals decision to hold that laws that classify people based on sexual orientation should be subject to intermediate scrutiny. Following Windsor's petition for cert before judgment and before the Court of Appeals ruled, the Department of Justice filed its own petition before judgment with the U.S. Supreme Court. After the Second Circuit issued its ruling in October, the parties filed supplemental briefs, and in December, the Supreme Court granted the right to hear the case argued in U.S. v. Windsor. They accepted the DOJ's petition and said whether Section 3 of DOMA violates the Fifth Amendment's guarantee of equal protection for same-sex partners. The court also asked the parties to brief and argue two other questions: whether the government's agreement with the Second Circuit's decision deprived the court of jurisdiction to hear the case in the first place, and whether Blagg has standing to argue the case, the legal right to be involved in the case. On December the 11th, the Supreme Court appointed Vicki Jackson, a professor of constitutional law at Harvard Law School, as an amicus curiae to argue the two additional questions it posed. Windsor issued a statement and said that when she and her partner met nearly 50 years before, that they both never dreamed that their marriage would land before the Supreme Court as an example of why gay married couples should be treated equally and not like second-class citizens. Noting that her deceased wife would be very proud, Windsor added, "The truth is, I never expected any less from my country." Blagg filed its own petition for cert on December the 28th of 2012 to enable the court to rule on the constitutionality of DOMA Section 3 if it decided that the DOJ's agreement with the Second Circuit's decision deprived the Supreme Court of jurisdiction to hear the case. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments, as I mentioned, on March the 27th, 2013. Finally, on June the 26th, the very last day of the session, the Supreme Court issued its ruling in a 5-4 very narrowly decided decision. It found that Section 3 was unconstitutional, as I mentioned, as a deprivation of liberty under the Fifth Amendment. Justice Anthony Kennedy was the author of the majority opinion, and he was joined by Justices Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. Kennedy's decision to strike down a central part of DOMA cited the principles of state autonomy, equal protection, and liberty. Here's a really important quote out of Justice Kennedy's opinion. He said, "DOMA's principal effect is to identify a subset of state-sanctioned marriages and make them unequal. The principal purpose is to impose inequality, not for other reasons like governmental efficiency or easing administrative burdens. By this dynamic, DOMA undermines both public and private significance of state-sanctioned same-sex marriages, because it tells those couples and all the world that their otherwise valid marriages are unworthy of federal recognition. This places same-sex couples in an unstable position of being in a second-tier marriage. The differentiation demeans the couple whose moral and sexual choices the Constitution protects and whose relationship the state has sought to dignify. And it humiliates tens of thousands of children now being raised by same-sex couples. The law in question makes it even more difficult for the children to understand the integrity and closeness of their own family and its concord with other families in their community and in their daily lives." Now, that was a direct quote out of the majority opinion in the Windsor case. There were dissenting opinions issued in that case as well. Chief Justice John Roberts and Justices Antonin Scalia and Samuel Alito authored dissenting opinions each, and Justice Clarence Thomas joined with those opinions. Justice Scalia's dissent, which was predictable but extremely well written, was joined in full by Justice Thomas and in part by Justice Roberts. It opened as follows. He said, "This case is about power in several respects. It's about power of our people to govern themselves and the power of this court to pronounce the law. Today's opinion aggrandizes the latter with the predictable consequence of diminishing the former. We have no power to decide this case," Justice Scalia said. "And even if we did, we have no power under the Constitution to invalidate this democratically adopted legislation." He continued, "Windsor's injury was cured by the judgment in her favor. What the petitioner, United States, asks us to do in this case before us is exactly what the respondent, Windsor, asked us to do. Not to provide relief from the judgment below, but to say that the judgment was correct. And the same was true in the Court of Appeals. Neither party sought to undo the judgment for Windsor. And so that court should have dismissed the appeal just as we should dismiss this case for lack of jurisdiction." So Scalia's position was that the U.S. Supreme Court didn't have the power to hear the case because the parties were arguing for the Supreme Court merely to restate what the lower courts had held, and that was to uphold the decision in favor of Windsor. He wrote in his dissent that the majority justices, through their opinion, resorted to calling opponents of same-sex marriage enemies of the human race, quoting directly out of the majority opinion. "As far as this court is concerned," Justice Scalia wrote, "no one should be fooled. It's just a matter of listening and waiting for the other shoe. By formally declaring anyone opposed to same-sex marriage an enemy of human decency, the majority arms well every challenger to a state law restricting marriage to its traditional definition." Well, there was a bunch of response, immediate response, because we're airing this show not more than 3 weeks after the case opinions were issued. The president basically came out and hailed the ruling as a victory for American democracy. And the legal response by constitutional professors described Scalia's response and dissent as intemperate, extraordinary, and at the very least, an exercise in jurisprudential cynicism. He considered that Scalia appeared to have been unable to resist the temptation to use the occasion to insult the court's majority, and Justice Kennedy in particular, in essentially ad hominem or ad feminem terms. And he wrote principally to highlight the extraordinary character of this particularly vitriolic and internally inconsistent dissent. So Tribe basically gave his political views and made them known. It's a highly charged issue. What this issue means for same-sex couples, however, is significant. What is the impact of this decision on same-sex couples? It doesn't impact married couples in the least, couples who are legally married men and women. It does impact same-sex married couples who've been married legally in states, 12 of them, or in the District of Columbia, where the definition of marriage does include same-sex couples. Here's what the law does for same-sex couples. In a recent blog by my colleagues at McDermott, Will and Emery, Todd Solomon, Brian Tiemann, and Ruth Weimer, they stated that employers who are providing benefits for employees, same-sex spouses, may want to consider the availability of federal payroll tax refunds because of the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in the Windsor case. Employers currently have to impute income to an employee for the fair market value of benefit coverage for non-dependent same-sex spouses. The imputed income is subject to federal income and payroll taxes, as well as state income taxes in most states. The U.S. Supreme Court, in its ruling by ruling Section 3 of DOMA unconstitutional, will favorably reverse the federal tax treatment of employer-provided benefits for non-dependent same-sex spouses. This reversal may lead to refunds of federal payroll taxes that were paid by employers and federal income taxes paid by employees on the income that they had to report on the benefits that were provided to them by employers to the extent that they were same-sex married couples. So this is a really important consideration. So we've got the fact that income that was previously reported by same-sex spouses because employers provided health benefits to them may not be income at all under the law. So the question is whether or not you should go back as an employer and file a tax refund to claim the payroll taxes you had to pay on that income. And the question is whether the employees, the same-sex spouses, should go back and file income tax refunds retroactively as a result of this change in the law. It's not clear that you can get it. You would argue that you're entitled to get it because the law was never constitutional when it existed. So the denial of your ability to claim federal benefits was unconstitutional from the get-go, from the very beginning. Similarly, people who were in the same situation as Windsor was, where her spouse died and she had to pay federal estate tax and potentially state estate tax on assets that she received as an heir of the estate of her deceased spouse, would be subject to a refund under the Second Circuit holding and under the U.S. Supreme Court holding in Windsor. So you, where you were denied the ability to claim this unlimited marital deduction, you're now allowed to take it. More importantly, for all of the same-sex couples that are out there who've done their estate planning in a way that's different from men and women who are married couples, such that they have been able to design their estate plans a little bit more effectively, you should consider, same-sex couples, going back and amending your estate planning documents to provide for the ability to claim the marital deduction and set aside assets for your surviving spouse. If you have questions regarding how DOMA applies to you or the repeal of Section 3, give us a call at 703-218-2100 or give me a call, Wayne Zell, at 703-218-2177. Thanks for listening to Power of Attorney Radio, and tune in next week for another special topic or a special guest. Have a great week.